And we're joined now by Susan Nelson, adjunct law professor at Southern University, and Prem Burns. And I think it's important that we have women here to discuss a case that now involves a prominent woman who's making a serious allegation against a Supreme Court nominee. And today, Republican lawmakers appear poised to move ahead with a confirmation vote on Brett Kavanaugh, who is accused of sexually assaulting a woman when they were in high school 36 years ago. That's even if his accuser does not participate in an upcoming Senate hearing to air the allegation, and lawyers for Christine Blasey Ford indicate that she will not agree to attend the hearing before the Judiciary Committee under the current circumstances. In a letter to Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Chuck Grassley of Iowa, Ford's attorneys call for an FBI investigation into the allegations, saying a full investigation by law enforcement officials will ensure that the crucial facts and witnesses in the matter are assessed in a nonpartisan manner and that the committee is fully informed before conducting any hearing or making any decision. Prem Burns, let's begin with you. What's your take on where we are right now, and how in the world will 21 members of the Senate Judiciary Committee make a judgment on this independent of partisan politics?
That's the problem. That's absolutely the problem. My thoughts last night, and I think I mentioned this to you yesterday, was I didn't expect the accuser in this case to come forward. I thought she may not want to participate and would again change her mind. That was my gut. It appears to be now that she is dictating her terms, which I find particularly perplexing, to say the very least. The whole scenario is very strange to me. I'm offended more by the process that this has taken, and that is not speaking politically. This letter was received several months ago, and irrespective of her wish or not signing it initially, and irrespective then of her not wanting her name to go public, I believe it was incumbent upon anyone who had that information, and I say anyone, that's regardless of party, to perhaps have broached this issue during the hearings. If Senator Feinstein had this information during the hearings, why in God's heaven did she not ask Kavanaugh in some general kind of way even to at least begin the process? That's my first problem. Then give it. She could have given it to some other committee staff or whatever to get privately with the accuser to get some more specifics, because you're going to need specifics. And that's the starting point. And that's why I'm a little bit flummoxed at the fact that Dr. Ford will not come forward Monday, because she certainly could at least give the background. We have no idea what month this occurred, where it occurred, who may have been there. Those are all the things as a prosecutor, as a criminal prosecutor, as an attorney who has done this for so many years, that I would need to have as a prosecutor to protect her, to go forward, and also to see if there's a legitimate claim. I'm just surprised because everybody's come to a conclusion.
All right. Susan Nelson, your response to Prem Burns, who has some problems with this 11th hour allegation as Brett Kavanaugh tries to become a Supreme Court justice.
Well, first off, I'm relatively certain that...
All right. Let's see. Let's try this microphone.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you, Jim. I'm relatively certain that Senator Feinstein turned the letter over to the FBI, who was charged with doing the background check on Judge Kavanaugh. So, you know, certainly they should have started that investigation and started that part, which is part of the background vetting that happens for a Supreme Court nominee. We do know approximately where it happened. We knew it was in Maryland. She did say those details. There were other people that were there. She put someone else in the room. So I'm not really sure what people are thinking that this was held, because Senator Feinstein did turn it over to the FBI.
All right. Well, she
that's
could
not,
have.
That,
go
that's
ahead,
not
Prem.
My understanding, Jim. I don't think we've ever heard her say that. She said she protected that letter. She did not even turn it over to members of her own party and her own committee. That letter was simply held, and there was no opportunity whatsoever to do any kind of investigation at that time. And quite honestly, just to be frank, thing. It occurred in Maryland. Maryland's a small state, but it's still a big jurisdiction. We don't know even, no month was even given, as I understand this. No names of anybody, no circumstances surrounding the incident. This is what I'm flummoxed about, is if this is a 14-year-old girl going on 15, going to a party where liquor is being intoxicated. First of all, at that age, I would never have been out, nor did my friends go out to such an event.
877-217-5757. We'll return with Prim Burns and Susan Nelson on Talk Louisiana after this brief timeout.
And the victim attacking begins.
This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing, and we're joined by Prim Burns, the veteran prosecutor. She worked both in federal court and in state court for many years in this community, and was deputy district attorney in East Baton Rouge Parish. And Susan Nelson, who is a professor of law at Southern University.
Adjunct professor of law.
And licensed to practice in three states. Right?
Yep.
877-217-5757. And we're going to go to the phone lines with Prim Burns and Susan Nelson in just a moment. But a listener notes, and you can send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org, that there is another person involved in this. Now, Christine Blasey Ford has mentioned a gentleman named Mark Judge, and he has not been called to testify. But he wrote in a book, Wasted Tales of a Gen X Drunk, detailing his experiences of extensive drinking while attending Georgetown Preparatory School. So it would appear that he might be a witness worth hearing from. Susan Nelson, why isn't he on the list?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I think that's part of the reason why Ms. Ford, or Professor Ford, would like this turned over to the FBI so that a proper investigation can take place before she is required to answer questions before a partisan committee. She wants to make sure that their investigation is done and done thoroughly. And part of that would be, I think, interviewing Mr. Judge.
Prim Burns, do you think that it would be relevant to have Mark Judge as a part of this process?
I certainly do. And he has, through his counsel, released a letter to the effect of saying that he never knew Judge Kavanaugh to behave in this manner, and he has no recollection of that incident. But my point as a prosecutor, and I know our adjunct professor said, I'm attacking the victim again. I fought for victims for 42 of the 44 years that I practiced, and my last sexual assault case, a rape case, involved prostitutes and mentally challenged individuals who were raped. So that's certainly, I want to put forward, the way I'm looking at it as a prosecutor would be, start with the alleged victim. That's where you get your details. And I think certainly the testimony publicly of what she recalls is huge. And I'm not making any determination of what did or did not occur. We don't know that. That's my criticism of how we've gotten to this stage, is everybody, particularly yesterday, has made their opinion. They're like, unless she was telling the truth, she would not come forward. That's certainly true many times. There's a delay many times as well. But there also have been people who do come forward, and the claims are false, or they're muddied by being under the influence of alcohol, by the passage of time, by psychological issues. There's much to develop through this without our saying it happened or it didn't happen. We don't know.
Right. 877-217-5757. Robert in Opelousas, you're on the air with Prim Burns and Susan Nelson. Hi, Robert.
Hi. Good morning. My question or comment is also about Mark Judge. The Washington Post had a short article a couple days ago about the very book that he wrote that you're talking about it. And in it, he gives some details, including the narrow staircase. On the other side, Ms. Ford has, I guess you'd call it evidence, that with her therapist relating this incident to the therapist. So my question, and I haven't heard any of these talk shows cover it yet, is when did Mark Judge's book come out versus the 2012 therapy session? Because if she's on record with her therapist as having this incident, and they both mention this narrow staircase, if she's on record in 2012 and the book hadn't come out, That would give credibility to her. On the other hand, if that book came out before that therapy session, then she could have taken the details from that book and presented those are the recalled facts, and that would also explain why she can't recall any other details. That's
right,
because
well,
there wouldn't be details that weren't in the book. And that's my question.
All right, well, we'll let our guests respond. But, Robert, if a friend of yours was in line to become a Supreme Court justice and was accused of this, and you were accused of being in the same room with him, and it were untrue, wouldn't you be rushing to the Judiciary Committee to say, hey, I want to testify, I want to clear this man's name, this is a damn lie, and I will not stand for it?
Would you want to get the blowback from doing that?
I certainly would. If I were innocent, I would be shouting from the rafters saying, this is a lie. And I can't understand why Mark Judge is not doing that.
I think he has said it didn't happen. He doesn't recall anything about it, okay? I think he's already done that. What do you want him to do?
I want him to testify before the committee.
Well, have they asked him to?
No, they have not.
Well, then how can he testify before the committee?
I would think that if he requested to testify, they might have a change of heart.
Well, all I can say, I don't know. I can't speak for Mark Judge. My point is this. If her therapy session was before the book came out, that gives her credibility. If it was after the book, it raises a question.
You have a point.
Okay?
And Susan, I think he does make a legitimate point.
Yeah, I don't know when the book came out. However, what we do know from trauma and the way people remember trauma that occurs is that it does get spotty, because when trauma happens, the front part of your brain that handles executive function processes information differently. So it's very common for victims to remember some details and not remember others. Also, it's been a good amount of time since this incident happened. So, you know, if I can't tell you when certain incidents happened to me, specifically when I was in high school. However, I do remember the incidents happened. I can't tell you that they happened on March 5th. As a matter of fact, I had to go look something up the other day when someone asked me when something happened in high school. I had to go and kind of like figure in my head, well, it was this date because of this. You know, trauma impacts people's ability to remember specific details. So she has a gist of the story. She started telling the story in 2012 before Kavanaugh was even on the radar screen, and has gone through this therapy process. So at this point, I think it's incumbent upon the FBI to do this investigation.
All right. Prim, much has been made about Dr. Ford being a clinical psychologist. She certainly is not... she's not unknown to these kinds of circumstances, but is that particularly relevant at this point?
I found it interesting. That's all. And I also last night listening to a reporter who has since then done a story with some of her friends. Apparently, she's related details of the incident to her close circle of friends. It was not made clear whether this was done before the letter to Senator Feinstein or after. And it was also mentioned by this reporter that she is so traumatized, she says, still, that she cannot be in a room without an exit door, including her bedroom at home. She has to have a door to the outside from her bedroom. So those are issues, too. Are there other things in her life that may have contributed to this without passing any judgment on her? You know, we need the full story. As far as I'm concerned, this is too important an issue to both sides, and there are no winners in it. And already, Mark Judge, who was not a part of any of this, he's also been crucified, because now we hear allegations. Well, he was a heavy drinker. He was this. He was a reprobate. Whatever. This incident already, to me, has almost assassinated three people: the accuser, Judge Kavanaugh, Mr. Judge. And in the end, I predict there are going to be no winners in this thing. There are no winners. I don't know if the president will pull this or Judge Kavanaugh will pull from this without hearing from this victim because of the price of going through this.
All right. Well, this Mark Judge is an exotic creature. He did write in his book that he is shocked about what he got away with in high school, recalling beach parties that hundreds of people would attend. He also references a Bart Kavanaugh, Bart O. Kavanaugh, Bart O. Kavanaugh, who he writes vomited in someone's car. And separate from his book, in a 2013 piece for the Daily Caller, the same Mark Judge said of President Obama that he doesn't just have a streak of the feminine in him. He seems to be a woman and a feminist one at that, with a streak of man in him. So this gentleman is quite a character. 877-217-5757. Patrick on Bluebonnet. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way for Kavanaugh to prove a negative. If something did not happen, it's not going to provide any evidence. Okay, I could say there's a pink elephant in the sky. Well, show me the evidence that there's a pink elephant. If the pink elephant never occurred in the sky, there's no way to prove that it never occurred.
Okay,
you cannot prove a negative.
Okay, but shouldn't there be an investigation, Patrick, to determine whether Ms. Ford is lying?
Yeah, but all we
lying,
have is
or
the
is
word of the nutty professor. That's now, all we have, the now, nutty professor.
Now, how do you know she's a nutty professor?
Well, she sounds pretty liberal from her from
that
her
makes
past,
her nutty?
And then she brings up. Well, she brings it up 35 years later, after the fact. Why didn't she bring it up back then?
Because when trauma happens to victims, it takes a long time to process it, and it takes a long time for victims to come forward. And she didn't just come forward. She came forward in 2012 to her therapist and her husband and her marriage counselor because it had, at that point, impacted her life to a point where she had to correct it. So, you know, this notion that she's nutty, which is what we often hear about women when they make claims about men, you know, I'd love to hear the exact same debate taking place over the victims of sexual abuse at the hands of Catholic priests, because how did the priest prove that they didn't do something? And yet we know.
Why didn't she testify on Monday?
Because she wants the FBI to conduct an investigation before she sits before a partisan committee. It's not rocket science.
Brim Burns, you said that you thought she would be reluctant. I think this may explain why. Be a reluctant witness. Are you there, Prim?
I am, and I just think if she's opened the door, she needs to come forward Monday. And if they need to do follow-up from what she says and there are more details out there, I can guarantee somebody's going to be doing it, whether it's the jurisdiction in Maryland, whomever. There will be an investigation, but come forward. Come
forward, says Prem Burns. What do you think? Susan Nelson also with us for another segment. Your number is 877-217-5757. You're listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. 877-217-5757 is your number. Senator John Kennedy, who is one of the 21 members of the Judiciary Committee, 18 males, 3 females, by the way. All of the 11 Republicans are men. He says that he's visiting with reporters right now and says that the hearing should go forward come Monday. Chelsea in Lafayette, you're on with Prem Burns and Susan Nelson. Hello, Chelsea.
Hi, I'm calling because I just can't help but think all of this is really cosmetic and not concrete. It didn't stop Clarence Thomas, and I don't think it's going to stop Kavanaugh. All it really is going to do is overwhelmingly embarrass the victim.
Well, that's a concern, and I think Prem Burns has stated that might be why the alleged victim does not want to testify before this committee come Monday. But she says she will if there's a full-fledged FBI investigation. Susan, that would appear to be unlikely.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the problem with how this whole thing has been handled, and which, by the way, I misspoke earlier. We knew it happened in Montgomery County, Maryland, so that narrows the area down a little bit further. I think that there's an opportunity for them to explore all the evidence. Let's also not forget that she took a lie detector test, and I know those aren't held up in court, but we're not talking about court proceedings here. And, you know, the question could be, well, then why wouldn't Kavanaugh take one similarly?
Mm-hmm. Well, Anita Hill also took a lie detector test, and Clarence Thomas did not. And the vote was 52-48. Thomas was confirmed in 1991. 11 Democrats voted for his confirmation, including U.S. Senators Bennett Johnston and John Berlinger Bro of Louisiana. When all is said and done, Prem Burns, no matter what the testimony is, my guess is that if there is a vote on Judge Kavanaugh, that it will largely be down party lines.
I think it would have been even before this, because I think many senators of the other party, of the minority party, expressed the fact that they would not confirm it in part due to what happened to Merrick Garland and kind of a payback, also because certain documents had not been released. Jim, I think if anything comes out of this, it's a better process that we need to follow in the future for any potential nominees. There needs to be a process. I understand reluctance of individuals to come forward. That's a large stage to put yourself on and to take criticism from the public, from the questioners. I do understand that, having dealt with victims for four decades. I think we need to refine in the Congress the process that we have for receiving claims, how they're handled, how they would be investigated, and how the timeliness and the appropriateness and the thoroughness of any investigations before we start conducting hearings, so that both sides have a fair opportunity. Because here, everybody's been assassinated. I see, really, in the end, no good coming out of it. Do I think that the judge will be confirmed? I don't know. Honest to God, at this point, I would not bet any money on the outcome of any of this. So I think what we do need to learn from it is that this can't happen again. This can't happen again as it did in the Thomas Anita Hill situation. We need to tell victims, you can come forward, but this is the process that is going to follow, and we need to do it genuinely, fairly, without leaks.
All right. Lindsey Graham says, requiring an FBI investigation of a 36-year-old allegation without specific references to time or location before Professor Ford will appear before the Judiciary Committee is not about finding the truth, but delaying the process until after the midterm elections. That's from Lindsey Graham, who, of course, is a Republican.
It's ironic that the people who wouldn't even meet with Merrick Garland because it was 237 days before the presidential election are concerned about delaying this before the midterm elections, which are in, what, 6 weeks?
A little over, well, 7 weeks.
Seven weeks. Yeah.
48 days. David in Atlanta. Hello, David.
Good morning to everyone. It was quoted in the New York Times today that yesterday in a radio interview, a possible and likely Republican who will be elected to the U.S. Senate from Mississippi, Chris McDaniel, said, quote, 99% of these sexual harassment allegations are nonsense. I think that's an example of the objectivity of the Republicans who will be voting for Judge Kavanaugh. And I don't see how a person like that could represent anybody. The man evidently has no objectivity and no respect for women to make such a statement.
All right. Another listener at TalkLouisiana.org notes that Al Franken left the Senate for, in his view, lesser allegations, and he is no longer a U.S. senator. So Tracy asking if Kavanaugh should be held to the Franken standard.
You know, I think everyone should be held to higher standards when we're talking about harassment, particularly when these things happen over the years. You know, there's this inclination to say, well, you know, boys will be boys. Well, yeah, and there needs to be consequences when boys are boys. Because people, real lives are changed and real people get hurt, and we've seen this throughout time. So, you know, I think we really need to have a conversation about what behaviors we let certain people get away with as opposed to others.
All right.
I totally agree with that, by the way. I absolutely do. But in Al Franken's case, Al Franken admitted to what had occurred. There were pictures of it as well. So that was a given. Now, his choice in resigning, was that enough? That could be discussed by other people down the road, because that's another standard. What is enough to disqualify somebody? Does it have to be a violation of a criminal act? Does it have to be at a certain age? Is there a passage of time? It opens the door to so many discussions as to what disqualifies a person in moral character. And if you've ever done something in your life, as a high school student, as a junior high school student, you know, people better be sitting down with their children right now saying, watch this. This is an example. You better behave yourself, because what you do early in life will come back to rear its ugly head. And I remember having a high school teacher who said that. Watch out what you sign on to. Watch out what groups you belong to. Because you better remember down the road these things will be held to you. And I think Me Too has contributed to the fact, I think positively.
Ann on Bluebonnet, Ann on Old Goodwood. Good morning. You're on with Prem and Susan. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Jim. I just had a comment about, I've encountered so many people who have wondered why she waited so long, why she won't testify. I just think that the previous caller is the perfect illustration of why women do not come forward, why women will not testify. I mean, she's telling her story and is immediately accused of being crazy. You know, there has been a hostile reaction to people, to women coming forward with these kinds of things in the past, historically, and it does not surprise me when women come back 30 years and tell their story, because at that point they've matured, they are in a stable, hopefully stable relationship, they hopefully have been able to find success in their professional careers, and at that point they finally feel that this will not destroy them. That does not mean they are crazy.
Susan?
Yeah, I mean, to underscore that, and certainly victims of trauma, sometimes, you know, people in their process to deal with things try to repress memories, try to put things away and put them in a box and don't want to talk about them. So that's certainly at play here. But, you know, the fact is she sat down and did a polygraph test and she passed it. And, you know, quite honestly, polygraph tests are quite common in security clearances. You know, when I worked in the secured space, people had to take them all the time. So why wouldn't Judge Kavanaugh have to take one in this case?
Prem, a note from Catherine says, let's not assign sexual abuse to entire gender by saying boys will be boys. Let's just say predators will be predators.
That's a fair statement.
That said, some would say that if Kavanaugh did this, there are likely other victims, because generally people who engage in this kind of behavior don't just do it once. Prem, is that relevant?
That's not necessarily true. That you know, if you have a serial rapist, yes, and that was something I preached with my victims in sexual assault cases, rape cases. I would tell them, you're probably not the first, and if you don't come forward and testify, you probably will not be the last victim. So it's very important if there's a certain violent type of predator. But I think that the thing is, you know, if you stole once, you're going to steal the rest of your life. Or if you committed adultery once, you're going to do this the rest of your life. I don't think we can stereotype anybody. And I think that's the problem in this case, is that the media, we're in the media now, and so the whole nation knows about this, which would not normally be the case if we were trying a sexual assault in a courtroom. It would be a closed, more private situation.
All right. Steve in Denham Springs, please be brief. Steven, you're on with Prem and Susan. Hi, Steven.
Hi. Yeah. I think that Judge Kavanaugh is going to have probably a little bit better inquisition from, you know, Kamala Harris and the other Democratic woman senator, just because, you know, they didn't, during the Anita Hill trial, they didn't have any women, you know, asking questions.
All right, that's a relevant point. There were no women on the committee 27 years ago.
Yeah, and if you go back and watch Anita Hill's biography, you know, quite honestly, it's arguable that there were mistakes made by the Democrats who were leading that particular issue with not allowing her to come forward and tell her story. So I think having the women involved here is going to change the way that we have this conversation, and that's certainly important why we elect women to represent us.
Prem, we have about 15 seconds for your final thoughts.
My final thoughts, again, are let's not judge any of this just by what we've heard. We don't know either of these people. We don't know their background, the circumstances of it. We need to hear from both of them.
Thank you, Prem Burns. Thank you, Susan Nelson. Thank you for
Jim.
Listening. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay tuned.